welcome to Shelf Respect, the book podcast focused on both craft and chaos of fiction. I'm Knox McCoy. Joining me as always, they just got their seasons of The Bachelorette canceled. It's Jamie Golden and Aaron Moon.
Bye.
Bye, TFP.
In this episode, we will be say drafting the books we think will be the best reads of Q2, meaning April, May, and June.
But before we pull this episode off the shelf for you, have you considered leaving us a review? You might be like, what? Where I leave a review? So Apple Podcasts and Spotify let you leave reviews, even if that's not where you listen to podcasts. I listen to podcasts on Overcast, so it's no reviews there. But I've for sure left reviews for my own podcast on all the places I can. And here's the thing. We are 5 stars on Spotify. Thank you so much for who have rated us. And on Apple Podcasts, we are 4.9 because someone did just give us 1 star, but no notes. So thanks for that. But I did want to read a recent review that was really lovely from Mal J. Evans, who said, I couldn't believe how much this episode had me out loud laughing like an idiot. It was glorious. Aaron, Jamie, and Knox can always be counted on to provide the levity and absolute ridiculousness you need to combat the human condition today. That is so nice.
That's
and
really
depressing.
Nice.
Yeah, but a moment in time. So, guys, head to Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Again, you don't have to listen there. All you have to do. Well, I do actually think on Spotify, because when I try to leave a review, they're like, only people who've listened. And I'm like, I did it. I was there. And then you can leave. So, again, you can head to Apple Podcasts and Spotify. The links are in the show notes.
Okay, we're gonna do a snake draft of upcoming book releases. I feel good about this because I don't want to speak too soon, but I feel pretty confident I'm drafting from the right time of period of time. I can't always say that. I'm speaking only for myself, but I feel confident that this time I will follow the rules.
Yes. So, and this is a special month. We did 2 snake drafts in a row for our free listeners. So
oh, I love
super
that.
Fun.
Yeah.
But this one is less angry, I would say.
Less contentious.
Okay. Yes, less contentious. Although sometimes I'm mad because I'm like, oh no, I wanna read that one. You don't read it. I read it. But we can all read the same book. We were just having that discussion of like, and we'll get to it, but like you can read the same book as other people. People do it all the time. So
this comes at a good time for me too, because this isn't a Shelf Reflections, but I am in an slump right now.
No.
I'm just like, and I'll get like 30% through and I'll just be like, I would rather eat a butt than finish this book right now.
Yeah.
This is giving me hope. I'm going to look at books. I'm going to be like, look at all these cool books that I'll probably read and love.
You're going to get excited. This will get you out of your slump. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, we're going to draw for spots. We're going to use, I don't know if you guys saw the news, a little bit of breaking news. Chuck Norris is dead. He has died.
What? Stop that. First of all, Aaron, how old was Chuck Norris?
I mean, that's probably very old. I know. I feel like I get news of celebrity death on recordings all the time. And I just.
Especially Texas-centric ones.
I know. And I don't want Chuck Norris's dependents to listen to this episode and be like, ugh, who cares?
Yes. He was born before we were involved in World War II.
Oh, really?
Yes, 1940.
That's crazy.
I didn't realize he was that old.
Yeah, yeah. No, he was, I mean, and he lived a rough life. Like,
he had a long one.
I mean, he boxed a lot. Yeah, a physical one. Like, he'd been beaten up a lot, you know?
So I think the best way to honor him is to talk about books that are coming out. I think that's how he would prefer it.
But, listen, I will say his last, can wanted. I just say this real quick? His last post on Instagram was last week, because he turned 86. And he said, I don't age, I level up. And I was like, oh, we leveled up to heaven.
In the literature world, we call that foreshadowing.
Yes, we do.
So we're going to, this is Chuck Norris's TV show, Walker, Texas Ranger. That's what I would, I would go out on the weekends with Ashley or youth group, and I would come back at curfew. And on Saturday nights, it was always right after college football had ended, and my dad would be watching Walker, Texas Ranger.
Yeah, he would.
So I'd slide in. We just crush an episode of Walker, Texas Ranger, then go to bed.
So iconic. It was such a staple in our, it was like Highlander, MacGyver, and Walker, Texas Ranger.
Yeah.
What a great trio.
Yeah.
It was a good trio. So we're going to be drafting from the words Walker, Texas, or Ranger. Okay.
Okay.
Jamie, let's give you first pick. Do you want Walker, Texas, or Ranger?
You know, I want to steal something from Aaron, so I will choose Texas.
Ooh. That's smart, because that's giving you the first pick overall.
No!
All right, Aaron, Walker or Ranger?
Walker.
Walker has gotten you the third pick overall, okay. And I will take the second.
All right.
Okay. So I think that's
good. I
feel like
good. I lost.
That works.
No, you didn't lose.
It's fine.
Except
fine. Texas. I stole it from you.
All right, Jamie, kick us off. What you got for first pick?
Okay, so this season, I don't know what the season is like, but I was like, I'm kind of all over the place and really wanting to read a lot of nonfiction. But for fiction, I'm going to start with The Ending Writes Itself by Evelyn Clark.
That's a good one. That's
oh my gosh, too. Right? And here's why I love it. You guys, at first I just read the blurb because it got starred reviews both in Kirkus and in Publishers Weekly. It comes out April 7th, a big day.
Big day.
Big day for books coming out on it. A lot of books are coming out on April 7th. And this is a propulsive debut mystery from Evelyn Clark. Six authors, one private island, 72 hours to write the ending that will change their lives. This is kind of referred to as a Knives Out vibe by reviewers. One of the world's best-selling novelists, named Arthur, is a reclusive genius and with six struggling authors who are invited to attend a weekend on his private Scottish island, which feels rainy and mysterious, which I yeah. like. I love that. That they find out when they get there that Arthur is dead. And his last book is unfinished. And so hijinks ensue. So each writer, the writers have 72 hours to finish his magnum opus in order to win the big prize, like relaunch their career. So I kind of love the character development of like struggling writers, people who they're, because I listen, as someone who has walked through life with people struggling to write and getting to get to publish their first book, I'm bookended by them now on this podcast. It is, you know, the journey is tough. And so I'm excited about this. But here's why I'm the most excited is Evelyn Clark is a combination of two authors, Kat Clark, who is a screenwriter, has written a few books like YA, and then V.E. Schwab. V.E. Schwab, one of my go-to favorite authors.
That's
and so
fun.
I'm curious what this will turn out to be. So I'm excited about that. And so that's The Ending Writes Itself, April 7th, Evelyn Clark.
Is there any word of like if, because I love the cover, great cover.
Yeah.
Is it like if your ending doesn't get chosen, you die?
Or is
it just like, you just
die.
Listen,
you go a trailer like out back, and you have to live there until someone picks you up. I don't know.
No, it's like you have to deal with the Scottish. What are the Scottish livestock? What Scottish cows?
Sheep.
But are they have like the furry cows?
Oh yeah, they do have the Highland cows.
Oh, Highland cows.
Those are cool though. Those look really cool.
No, those look like they're fun. Like they're a fun little hangout. Yeah. No, I would love everybody to die, but one, that'd be fun.
You have to live in a commune of gingers or something. It can't just be like, oh, sorry, we didn't pick yours, but enjoy your time back. You know, like traitors. It's gotta be like traitors.
No. Yeah. Exactly.
That's a good pick. I'm gonna go. This is a late one. I was just looking up right before we started recording. Aaron, are you there? There's one we talked about that Jamie and I were very jealous that you've already read. Mm-hmm. Are you gonna be picking that today?
I am gonna be picking.
Okay.
That today.
Okay. Good. I'm excited to hear you talk about it since you've read it. So instead, I'm gonna go Homebound by Portia Elan. This is due out May 5th. It is a literary fiction, it was described as if you love Tomorrow, Tomorrow, and Tomorrow, you'll like this. And I was like,
I love that cover.
It's got a video game kind of cover-ish, like font. It's five people, their lives are like interconnected across centuries. That sometimes that's hit or miss. Sometimes I'm like, I pass, or sometimes I'm okay with it. Emily St. John Mandel, I feel like, does a good job with that. Mm-hmm. I don't know Portia Elan. I hope she does as well, but I'm willing to give her a shot. But basically, the story starts in 1983 with a character named Bex, and I think they are trying to finish a video game, and then it goes into future lives. There's like a sea captain. There's a scientist. There's a sentient automaton. I don't understand what that means or how that works, but it's just weird enough that I'm like, this matches the vibe I'm looking for. And I'm kind of into it. So, I'm looking forward to Homebound by Portia Elan.
This looks fantastic.
This looks so
I do love
good.
A sci-fi setting. Like if I'm going to read literary fiction, I want it to be in a weird place. And so
that's
this looks really cool.
Yeah,
that's right. Okay, Erin, you've got a back-to-back.
Okay, my back-to-backs are, they both come out on April 7th. Big day. Big day. So my first one is Yesteryear by Caro Claire Burke.
That's the one.
This is probably going to be in my top books of the year. It's probably going to be in a lot of people's top books of the year. So it's about Natalie. Natalie is a trad wife influencer. She's got over 8 million followers. They all either hate her or want to be her. She just kind of, she's got, you know, the kids, the husband, 6 kids, another on the way. This kind of like picturesque ranch that they run called Yesteryear. So they are promoting their raw milk and their homemade jam while they're hiding their pesticides and their made in China merch and the two nannies and the one producer. So one morning she wakes up and she's in the year 1855. She's married to someone who vaguely looks like her husband. She's mothering children that are like not hers, but they could be. It's sort of weird. And she's pretty sure she's been kidnapped and or the Lord is testing her. And this book is so funny. It's so good. It's full of all of these sharp angles. Like every time you kind of settle into the story, you just get like an elbow to the eye. I was like, there's no way this book can stick the landing. Like it's so good. It's so good. And it 100% Simone Biles sticks the landing. It's so good. I'd mentioned that I was reading this to Jamie and she was like, I want to read it, but the author is a little maybe problematic on Instagram.
Oh,
TikTok.
On TikTok.
No. And let me say that.
Qualify that problematic.
Not problematic. But she just, her whole bit is to give you takes on things that are happening in the world. She co-hosts the podcast Diabolical Lies. Don't listen to other podcasts. But she has takes, and sometimes her takes are, they've maybe occasionally been anti-mother.
Yeah.
They've occasionally been
anti-mother.
Yeah. Anti-children.
Yeah. Anti-children.
That's a hot take.
Yeah. Which is funny to write that. But let me tell you, she's super smart. And this book was like, it's already been bought. The rights were bought and it's not even out yet.
Yeah. I think Anne Hathaway maybe has the rights.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's good.
It's so freaking good. There's this really interesting, like, there's interesting commentary about religion and the performance of religion and the performance of womanhood. And it's at no point was I like, oh, okay, I know what's going to happen now. And I was wrong every time. It was so good. It was really, really
excited.
Great.
And I'm also excited because I saw in the adaptation that Caro's not writing the screenplay. And I was like, good for you.
That's good. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Good for you.
Yeah.
Like, to be like, this is not, I'm going to leave this to, you know, somebody else.
The pros.
Sure.
I'm going to leave this to the pros. Yeah.
So that's Yesteryear by Caro Claire Burke.
Okay.
And then
second one.
My second one, I'm really excited about. I'm 50% of the way through it. And oh my gosh, it's so good. It's called Into the Blue. It's by Emma Brody.
She has never talked about a book more than this one. I promise you.
Okay, I'm not a big contemporary romance fan. Like, I don't mind them. I just don't gravitate towards them usually. But I am obsessed with this book. So this follows AJ. And I'm going to give you this premise, and it's going to sound weird and theater nerdy. And I get it, but I need you to trust me. Like, I need you to trust me. So the book begins. It's the summer before her senior year. She's a video rental store clerk in her small hometown. It's the year 2000. And one day her boss hires this new guy, Noah, who's a couple years older than she is. And he happens to be the last in a long line of this like famous acting family. Like it's giving Barrymore's, it's giving like the Paltrow, you know, Blythe Danner kind of a thing. So they have this like beautiful summer, which weirdly includes taking improv classes with Noah's eccentric great aunt, who's this famous recluse actress. And they have this insane connection that's like fostered first through like trusting each other through improv. And the chemistry is off the charts. So then like just after the first, like the best first kiss I've ever read in any book, Noah disappears. He just like up and disappears. Like he's like, he kisses her. He's like, we got to talk. And then he just never shows back up again. And she goes to the aunt and she's like, what happened? And the aunt is like really cold to her. She's like, it's none of your business what happened to him. And she's just obviously devastated, confused, heartbroken. Cut to 7 years later, and she's a line producer for a reality house hunting show. And she's a member of the Upright Citizens Brigade. But her dream is to write comedy on SNL. Like, there's this whole backstory about how she did fan fiction for the show and blah, blah, blah. She gets called into an audition for an unscripted improv show. And lo and behold, there's Noah, who is now a famous HBO actor. And they wind up casting this show together. And the chemistry is not faded, guys, but there's mysteries. And I'm 50% of the way through. And it is heartbreaking. Like, okay, I'm nervous. It's something so awful just happened. And it's agonizing. I don't know if this is a romance with a happy ending or it's a devastatingly haunting book. So I don't know that yet. But it is... It's very funny. They have this, there's this whole connection with like improv and comedy and lots of behind the scene glimpses into TV production. It feels very theater nerdy. It's also potentially unsure that it's very sad. So
listen,
I don't know yet.
Listen, it's listed as a romance and contemporary romance. You can't use that title unless it's an HEA.
Okay. Okay. So that makes me feel better.
That'll be good.
Sierra on Goodreads, it's a 4.4 on Goodreads right now. She said, this absolutely wrecked me. A love story saga for the ages. This one is for the Star Trek and Firefly girlies. And if you like SNL, comedy writing, like any of that, I think this is going to be for you. It's so great.
It sounds super fun.
It's really great.
Let me ask a question. So she is doing an improv show in LA?
Yes. No, well, she's in New York.
Oh, okay. In New York, he's a famous actor.
Yes. And she knows that he's an actor. But
does he know she's doing the improv show?
We don't know yet. We don't know.
So he's a very famous guy who's just like, I'm going to burn a night watching bad improv in New York.
It's not bad improv. It's good improv.
But he doesn't know that. All improv is bad.
No, he does. He does. Right? He does know because she's an Upright Citizens Brigade. Like, how bad can she be in improv?
Okay, so it's like, okay, gotcha.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it was like Emma Stone and La La Land, where she's like, I don't know how this is going to go.
No, like, she's like legit, and she's very good, and she's a very good producer and like a very good writer. And so, but anyway, so I'm really excited to find out what happens.
That sounds really good.
Yeah, it looks great. It's really, really great.
Okay, I'm torn here because there's a lot I'm not super excited about, but I feel like they could go either way. Like I won't burn some of the other ones. This is a risk. It's a reach pick. I'm probably going to regret it, but I'm going to do it anyway. Because this is an author who I have read a few years ago, and then she got into like YA and I stopped reading, and now she's back.
Okay.
And it's Rainbow Rowell.
Oh yeah.
She's coming out with Cherry Baby in April. And it's not YA. It's like, she's back in the adult world, not the weird, you know, I'm not talking about porno. I'm just like, you know, just modern people or whatever.
Maybe, we don't know.
But it's Cherry Baby. Basically Cherry is the main character. Her husband, Tom, he like writes a webcomic, and now he's adapting, the webcomic's kind of like autobiographical, and he's adapting it into a movie. And it includes a character named Baby, who is basically understood to be an exact stand-in for Cherry. And the internet doesn't like Cherry or this character. And Tom's getting like more and more famous, and he's become like the internet's like boyfriend. And meanwhile, Cherry is back in Omaha with their dog and like their Midwestern house. And she runs into an old college crush.
Oh, no.
He doesn't know about this comic, and he thinks comics are probably stupid, probably.
He's probably way cooler than internet boyfriend husband.
That's right. So I'm interested. It's probably genre-wise, it's not usually what I'm going for, but I really like the way she writes. And what was the, it's the two name, you, I think you greenlit it originally, Jamie.
Oh, Eleanor and Park.
That's the one. Yeah. I remember reading that and just loving her pacing and the way she tells stories and the way she writes relationship. So I thought this could be a nice little return to form.
Because I really like her, right? And I don't normally like YA because that was what she wrote for so long. But every time I was like, well, this one's good. She's a very good writer. So I'm excited.
She's very good. Yeah. So that's okay. Me, Jamie, back to you for back to back.
Okay. My next one is, this is called Our Sister's Keeper by Jasmine Holmes. Now, this is the rare instance where I follow this author and know this author, like not know this author, you know, like she's my parasocial bestie. But I knew her before I knew that she was a writer, and I've loved a lot of her books. She's written a lot of nonfiction. She does, she works for a museum and does, like she works in Mississippi and does like historical education, and has written a ton of books. But she has this one coming out, which is fiction, June 9th. It's set in Mississippi, 1927. Very sinners, very, because it's this wealthy, all black free town. Okay. No white oppression, right? We love it. And then Thea Elliott and her husband are like, we're going to make all our dreams come true, except. There are nightmares all around in this town that only the women can see.
Ooh.
And so I really love like sinners when you have horror, but you're telling this really interesting other story, or Hereditary, where you're telling a horror story, but you're also telling an interesting story about womanhood. And this is very much along the vibes of like Ring Shout by P. Jelly Clark, which I loved, which Jasmine Holmes weirdly recommended, was like, if you like sinners, you'll really like this. This book has that vibe. It's fantastic. I'm like so excited for her because I'm like, oh my gosh, maybe I'll know like a really successful fiction author before they were really successful. This will be so fun. So again, that is Our Sister's Keeper by Jasmine Holmes, coming out June 9th. Okay, my other pick, and this is a, I just need some reliable, because I'm also, like Knox, not reading as much because the world is burning and I need to know why. And so I'm focused on that. But the second book in a series, and normally I wouldn't snake draft a second book in a series because it wouldn't hurt either of your feelings. However, it's really important that we all read it. And that is The Tapestry of Fate by Shannon Chakraborty. So this is the second in the Amina al-Sarafi series. I don't know if it's going to be a duology or multiple, but like they're standalone adventures. So they're not, but you do need to read book number one. And I greenlit it many years ago, The Adventures of Amina al-Sarafi, because what I was looking for in Reddit, I went, hey, I need a book with an FMC that's not 19. That's what I need. I need somebody that's over 30.
Yeah.
Like, can you bring me someone over 30? And that is exactly who Amina al-Sarafi is. She is a pirate. She captains a pirate ship. And she is like old, like she's like over 35, but she's also really smart, has a kid, like is just being like a parent on the road, and the road being the ocean. And this particular story is she is tasked with hunting down some artifacts for the Council of Immortal Paris. And she gets back on the high seas with all her criminal companions, which this ensemble is so fun because this is just a classic fantasy novel. So it's just a great found family on a boat. Everybody's really good at the thing they're really good at. There's a lot of humor. She writes dialogue really well. And so a spirit of discord comes along whom she is reluctantly in a relationship with.
Ooh.
And Amina is charged with stealing a spindle capable of rewriting fate from a mysterious sorceress on an island that no one can escape.
Okay, so
I love this. I'm very excited about this. I already have it from NetGalley. I cannot wait to read it. This comes out May 12th. This is The Tapestry of Fate by Shannon Chakraborty.
That sounds great.
I'm Tapestry excited. Of Fate.
Okay, that's good. I'm gonna go. I feel like I'm, you know, in the draft, sometimes you have teams that just make good, solid picks every round. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes you have teams that are just like, what are you doing? And right, it pays right. off or everyone gets fired. That's what I feel like my draft is right now. I'm going to do it. And this could be bad, but I'm going to do it anyway. Really to see, like, this might be faulty, too, because this is an author who the book they're known for got made into a movie a little... A little dicey.
Yes.
I don't know if the book was, so I might be speaking out of turn here. But this is Catherine Stockett and The Calamity Club. Obviously, she wrote The Help. I don't remember if The Help was problematic. I just know it sold 15 million copies.
That's all she remembers too.
That's why I'm curious of like if it was problematic. I'm like, did she learn her lesson? And
yeah.
Does she write? Like, does she like fix some stuff? Because she's in the same ballpark of in terms of setting. So this is set in 1933, Mississippi. So similar to one of the ones you just said, mm-hmm. Jamie. And it's focused on a character named Meg who is Meg is an orphan, and then there's an outspoken unmarried woman that's like
the archetype. You know, those are problematic.
Right. She 100 years earlier she'd been burned, but it's right. not. So she's fine. Now she's just outspoken. Her name's Birdie. Love it. And then there's a woman named Charlie. So the Great Depression is closing in, and they hatch up like a scheme to try to get like what has been withheld from them. So I love a good heist. I love a good Southern drenched in humidity. I like underdogs kind of putting something together to stick it to the man or take the power back or whatever. So I'm excited to see if this one pops off. It's been a long time since The Help. So like, yeah, does she still have it?
And a lot of criticism about The Help.
Yeah. So, and I don't remember if that was movie oriented or book as well, but I'm really interested. As we've done this, I've noticed I'm interested in like the narrative arcs of the authors, like with a Jeanette McCurdy of just like, can you write fiction? Yeah. Turns out she can write it really well. So I'm interested in Catherine Saga. Like, can you write cool? Or are you just not cool?
You're just not going to do
like,
cool.
Like, that was lightning in a bottle. We'll find
no,
out.
No, I do know. Really like the cover, though. I do like the cover. It's a good one.
I do, too.
Oh, that's good.
Okay, Aaron, back to you.
Okay, I have a back-to-back. My next book comes out on June 2nd. It is currently 4.6 on Goodreads, and it is Land by Maggie O'Farrell. I am always here for a Maggie O'Farrell. She is an auto-buy for me after The Marriage Portrait. Which hasn't been that many books, but it was. I love everything she's written. This is set in Ireland in 1865, which does not sound like a fun hang. It is set before and after the potato famine. It follows a father and his young son, and they are working for a government agency to draw accurate maps of Ireland. Which
riveting plot. Riveting already. Plot.
But like something happens, obviously.
Yeah.
And like their whole life changes and we don't know what it is. Mm. Bonus in this, there is apparently a very cool dog in this book.
Okay. So,
we have an Irish dog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm excited. I love her. Like she writes like the inner worlds of characters so richly for me. So I'll read anything she writes. I don't care if she scratches it out when she's sitting on the toilet. I'll do it.
Are you gonna say the thing? Are you gonna say the thing about Maggie O'Farrell books?
She's Hamnet. She did. Yes. Hamnet?
Are you?
I hate.
Listen, my favorite thing is when you need to help someone. Market the thing that they're doing. So if you would like to briefly discuss it.
Yeah. So if you also like Maggie O'Farrell books, you should come with me to the Cotswolds in summer 2027 because
Aaron, holy are you? I thought it was just like important context. You forgot, not a big deal.
No,
but this is.
But I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm
bad. Thank you.
I'm bad.
That's how earnest they are, you guys. That's why they don't promote their stuff.
I'm going on a reading pilgrimage with Common Ground Pilgrimages. I'm so excited about it. The way they do these pilgrimages, it's like so cozy and comforting. There's going to be a falcon, like a falconry person. we found falconry people. This is like Nancy and Geoff, and they have their own falconry situation. Anyway, it's going to be really fun. If we're going to read Hamnet together, that's why we're going to the Cotswolds. And there may be like some witchy walking happening. Oof. I don't know. It's going to be great. If you are interested in something like that, I did not pitch it very well. I understand.
Sorry, you were not prepared.
I was not prepared.
Although it was
been.
The perfect segue.
I should have been.
Time.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You can go to commongroundpilgrimages.com and sign up for their newsletter. And that is the first way that you will know when this trip opens in the next couple of weeks.
I went because I signed up for the news because I was like, maybe. Although I'm not into cozy, let's hike and see the horizon. Yeah. While we talk
Although
about
I
how sad
people are.
Although
I would pay a lot of money to see you with a falcon.
Oh, my God. Ooh, right?
Yeah. Too.
But I was looking, I went on the site to sign up for the newsletter, and which we'll include a link in the show notes. And it was funny. I was like, oh, they just announced Julia Whelan is doing a trip to Oxford.
Yes.
To discuss her mid as F book, my Oxford year.
Our friends at Pantsuit Politics do these. Beth and Sarah both do pilgrimages with them. My parasocial bestie, Dana Schwartz, who hosts the Noble Blood podcast. Don't listen to other podcasts.
Yes.
But she does them with them. So I'm hoping to maybe use that as a way to be best friends with Dana Schwartz. Maybe we'll see.
Yeah. You need to do a walking trip.
You would like, yeah.
You and read a book, you know?
That would be fun. That would be fun.
Falcons.
I looked it up. It's I Googled name of falconry person and it's falconer. It's a falconer.
Oh, okay. A falconer.
So
a falconry
please respect
person.
Their tradition.
Yeah. You're right. Aaron. Excuse me. I'm so sorry. okay. So that's my first pick. And then my second is, listen, reading Buffalo Hunter made me think, am I into like creepy ass stories? Maybe I am. And I just didn't know. So Japanese Gothic by Kylie Lee Baker. It caught my eye. The subtitle, I don't know if this is the actual subtitle, but it's a gothic dual timeline novel of ghosts, hauntings, and redemption. Mm. So the first timeline is Lee. Lee is in 2026. Lee has unfortunately just killed his college roommate, but he doesn't know why or how. So he flees to his father's new house in Japan to hide out, but the house is not right. There's something wrong with this house. Animals refuse to come near it. The window keeps like turning into not a window. And a lady with a sword keeps appearing in the yard at night. And then the second timeline is Sin in 1877. She's a samurai warrior hiding from enemies in the same house. And she sees a young foreigner outside of her window and senses that it is an omen. The copy says, this is what got me. The copy said, one of these people is a ghost and one of these stories is a lie. And I was like, ooh, that sounds good. So I'm excited. That's Japanese Gothic by Kylie Lee Baker.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah. I'm really excited about it.
Japanese Gothic.
I like a little time travel. Very The Everlasting. You
yes,
know?
Yes,
like,
yes.
I
yes.
like that. Yeah. I like that vibe a lot.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Okay. Man, I'm going to do this one. It's The Premise Sold Me. And it's not usually my vibe, but I was like, this sounds pretty cool. I'm not going to lie. It's called We Hex the Moon by Ooh. Molly Hall Seeley. I have grown to not enjoy people who have first names that could be two names. You know,
what is Molly like, Hall? What's that?
It's better than Mark Wayne, tell you that. But
true story.
I'll That's allow true. It, Molly Hall. So I'll listen to it. But it was pitched as, the Stranger Things meets The Secret History. And I do love Secret History.
Made in so a lab.
That was right in my sweet spot. The slug line is, that someone else was like, it's pitch perfect, but a little like astrological or cosmic. But four best friends, Goldie, Macy, Harding, and Jen, they perform a ritual on the moon and they hex it after high school graduation. They don't think it's going to work, but then the moon goes missing from the sky. Hijinks ensue, and a weird, angry supernatural woman shows up in their room and is like, if you want to fix it, we got to sacrifice a person. Someone's got to die.
Oh my gosh.
It's very weird. It's very strange. It's been called kind of novella-ish, and then like a friendship kind of story where weird stuff happens. And I always love those kinds of premises. So I'm drafting this one on premise alone.
Oh, okay.
That sounds good.
I'm looking at a review that says it's if that one good scene in Bodies, Bodies, Bodies was a full length novel, and I know exactly what that means, and I'm very interested in reading that novel.
Like, yeah, because I didn't love Bodies, 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 but there was one or two really good scenes. Yeah, I was like, this could have been better. So yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
I'm drafting that one. Okay, Jamie, back to you.
Okay, so I wanted something historical romance. Like, you know, the spring is a beautiful time to take a turn in Mayfair. And so I have picked, and I've decided to go to an author that I haven't read in a long time because she hasn't written something in a long time. And that's The Last Lady Bee. Do I love that name? No. But The Last Lady Bee by Eloisa James. This comes out May 12th. It is, we have Lady Genevieve Hughes, her pet piglet. God, I love an animal. I do love it. You know, I'm not a big fan of pets, but I do love fictional pets in books. I don't know what is so great about it. And then she has a husband who's in his 70s, as you do, and they go to the Scottish Highlands, and she meets a ghost, including, and then more ghosts, including, one of her husband's previous three wives. And then they become fast friends. And then she meets a witty solicitor who loathes her husband. Mm. And I know we're not pro-affair, but in Regency times, it's fine. Okay. Yeah. Because women didn't have any rights. And
as long as they make the other spouse just a big old butthole, I'm like, I get it. I'm fine with it.
Yeah. And so, and perhaps there will be a dead husband in the midst of this and a weird will, multiple wills, still ghost wanting what they want. Now, the only thing that hesitated on it was in the description, it said, Evie is now free to remarry, though as a virgin wife, now a virgin widow, she is more unnerved by the marriage bed than a spectral visit. And I don't like when women stay virgins throughout their marriage. I'm just like, you've got to go meet a male courtesan or something. I don't know. I don't like this. Be Bridgerton. Yeah. Have a secret affair. Be a mistress. I don't know. Like, I just don't like that because then there's just an element of like, oh no, what is that? You know, I don't like that. But that's the only thing I'm hesitating about. But Eloisa James writes really witty banter. And I love that in a historical romance when something's really smart. And I love a paranormal. Throw in a paranormal. I love it. So
now you said there's multiple wills. Is that characters named Will, legal documents after someone's death, or wheels like on a vehicle?
Sorry, wills like legal documents, like last will and testaments.
I love a good like will reading. Mm-hmm. You know?
Oh yeah, and like which one counts, and like and what if you're hot for again a solicitor, aka a lawyer who can maybe help you figure it all out. I do like it. His name's Godric. I do love Godric.
Yeah. Godric.
Godric. So, The Last Lady Beat by Eloisa James.
Okay. And then your second one?
Oh, my second one. Oh.
Those back-to-backs, man. Those I kind of like being in the two spot, you know, because I'm only like, I'm responsible for one at a time here.
Okay. I'm trying to decide, do I want people to get murdered or do I want them to fall in love? Murder it is. Okay. So I am choosing the book 5 by Ilona Bannister. This comes out May 5th. This is 5 lives. So similar to the 6 authors. So 5 lives, 5 stories. So what you do is it's a psychological fiction novel. What you have discovered is that you're at a train station. 5 people are waiting for a train. And you already know from the beginning of the novel that one of them is going to die within the next few minutes. And so the book is taking you through kind of like it, and the book's narration is to you, the reader. Like they're talking to you, the reader, about each person. And who do you think should die based on what you know about them? As if that's how people should die. You know what I mean? Anyway. So we have these five players, and they're all very different, right? You have a cantankerous old woman. You have a child who's a real problem and a real bee in his mother's bonnet. And the book is taking you through kind of who's going to experience this misfortune. And there's only 5 minutes left. So you get to be the judge, jury, and executioner, which is interesting. So,
that's so interesting.
I know. And so it's looking at like, how do we assess things like motherhood, disability, addiction? Every stranger has a story, which is one of my favorite things. Like anytime I get caught up in traffic, I had a coworker once tell me, I was like, I'd gotten into a fender bender. I had been hit on the way to work. And when I got to work, I was like, I'm so mad they weren't paying attention, blah, 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 blah. And she was like, you know, who knows what was going on in their life? And I hate that, by the way. I hate that reframing. But it's actually always made me think when somebody's like being crazy on the road, I'm like, they're going through it. They're going through it. They're also an a-hole, but they're also going through it. And you just don't know. You never know the full story. And so I like knowing of these 5 people, who will I decide that gets to die? So again, that's 5 by Ilona Bannister coming out May 5th.
It's a terrible title. I don't know how they're going to market that.
It is a terrible title. It's really bad. And it was funny. One of the reviews is like, I'm giving 5 4 stars. And I was like, oh no, I don't like that. In the sense of like, oh, that's going to be how we talk about this book. Mm.
Yeah.
But I would have liked a better title. Either.
Yeah. I don't like the cover. Just.
Oh, you don't like the cover.
I don't. No. It looks like a cheap Jake Gyllenhaal, like direct to Amazon movie cover. You know?
Fair. No, listen, that's fair. Again, I picked this because it starred on Publishers Weekly and Kirkus, but
I mean,
not
all
covers are winners.
That's true.
And not all titles are well done. But yeah,
that's true.
You know,
but it might be a hidden gem.
Like Where the Crawdads Sing. That's the stupidest title. You know?
Crawdads don't sing. What are you talking about?
That's right.
Okay, I'm going to go. It's back to me. I'm going to go. This one's unconventional, but I freaking love this author. And I loved their previous book I read, I think a couple of years ago. And it's Jenny Jackson, and it's The Shampoo Effect.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I saw this.
I loved her Pineapple Street.
I was going to say Pineapple
Street. I loved it so much.
Yeah.
And this is a book. It feels a little Tom Ripley-ish. Mm. And it's basically an ambitious young woman. Kind of insinuates herself into a tight-knit, like, social, like, group or structure or whatever, and has a way of, like, worming into friendships and even some marriages in a small seaside town, which is just code for, like, you know, northerner waspy types.
Northern sinister wasps.
Yeah, yeah, which always you love to see them get disrupted. So there's a decent amount of sex, some money. I think she writes economic situation well, without like really leaning on it or being preachy about it, but acknowledging it and also kind of leveraging it for what it can be in a novel about class differences. So I'm going to go back to the well and read Jenny Jackson, The Shampoo Effect.
This is on the New York Times novels everyone will be talking about.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
I know. Okay. So that's kind of fun. That's kind of fancy.
Yeah. Okay, Aaron, back to you. Hey,
am I one or two?
You have two.
Okay.
And then Jamie has one more.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to choose.
Is anyone circling Ann Patchett?
Oh, no. No.
Oh, okay.
No, she's not for me.
Listen, for me. I do love when people think about their lives. I do love it so much. But look, is that cover dope? That cover's dope.
It's
that
a good
horse.
Cover.
That horse is dope. And she does make a great cover, but probably one of the few green lights I regretted that I did green light was The Dutch House. And I looked back and I went, I don't know that I think I just like got caught up in everybody loves this book and I should love it too. And now I've decided as a person, I don't have to love books everybody
loves. You don't love what you love.
Because Knox has given me permission to do that.
That's right.
So despite the fact that The Correspondent has Jane Fonda starring in it, and she got a 7-figure deal for that adaptation.
Good for her.
Good for her. Maybe there'll be action in the movie where there wasn't in the book.
They'll just sit there and write their letters.
God, I hope it's just Jane Fonda sitting with a pen the whole time.
Okay, I'm kind of surprised that Knox hasn't taken this one. Maybe I'm telling you about it. I don't know. But this comes out March 31st. It's Son of Nobody by Martel.
You know why he's not talking about
why?
It? Why? Because it came out March 31st, and that's not what we're covering.
That's right.
Today.
We're not covering
because I follow
that.
The rules. Okay, noted rule follower.
I'm gonna choose another one. Forget it.
Wait, what's the name of it? What was
no,
it
not even gonna tell you anymore. No, you ruined it. No, it's Son of Nobody by Ian Martel. And you can read the description, and I think you would really like it. So there. Okay, I'm going to choose. This comes out April 28th. This is The Original by Priya Parmer. So this is a novelist, like a fictionalized novel of Katharine Hepburn's life.
Oh.
I love like old Hollywood stuff. That's Anne Helen Peterson. That's where I discovered Anne Helen Peterson is when she was writing long epic biographies of Hollywood, like golden age stars on the hairpin. And she, like, nobody did it better. They were incredible. But this kind of feels like this. It's about just like her, it's a fictionalized novelization of her life. And so it's talking about how she grew up, and it's talking about, and so there's kind of like an Aviator vibe to it a little bit of like, here's the behind the scenes of like what happened during Hollywood's golden age kind of a thing. So I'm excited. It's got like themes of, is fame worth it? Is it, you know, something that we should aspire to? That kind of a thing. So I'm really excited. I love Katharine Hepburn. I think she's a good
Is that Katharine Hepburn on the cover?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about it. I don't like it's a 4.1 on, or it's a 4.0 on Goodreads right now. So I have this, I just haven't gotten around to it yet. So I'm really excited to read it.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Yeah. That sounds good. And then my last one, I thought it was going to be that book, but I started reading that book and that book sucked.
Oh. Do you want to say what book that was?
It was The Subtle Art of Folding Space by John Chu. It was giving like
the director John Chu?
I don't know. Not John M. Chu, but just another John Chu.
Just John Chu.
And it was giving like kind of Everything Everywhere All at Once vibes.
Yeah.
But it got... I listened to the audiobook. It might be a better experience reading with your eyes, but it was not it for me.
Okay, fair.
Okay, so my last one is going to be... I'm going to do Scandal of the Summer by Alexandra Vasti. This comes out June 23rd.
Love her.
Jamie is the one who told me about Alexandra Vasti. So this is about... This has got like fake dating, found family tropes. It's about an eccentric heiress. And she's like, I hate the marriage mart. I'm out. I don't want to do this anymore. And she goes to hide in this absent princess's abandoned like holiday home. And what does she find there but a scallywag and a scoundrel who's he's running like a smuggler's ring. Archer. And so
Archer, that's better than Godric.
Much better than Godric.
Yeah.
You got to think about when they're saying it while they're doing it. And Godric doesn't really have the same
like... Yeah, you need a nickname then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when what Rick.
Well, it could be God. Come on.
God's not good. That's bad.
No. Yeah.
No. I don't know. Anyway, Jamie recommended the Ne'er-do-well Duke to me, and I loved it. I finished. It was such a fun read, and so I think that this will be another good one, and that's Scandal of the Summer by Alexandra Vasti.
This whole series, they're standalones, but this whole group of people, the Ladies in Hating, Earl Crush, they're all really good. She writes fantastic dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so many historical romance writers are just like, oh no, what shall I ever do? And it's like, these are normal people.
Yeah, they talk
normally.
Normal.
Don't be weird. Yeah.
So that's
okay. That's great. Okay, back to me. Were either of you... I feel like we've talked about this book, but I didn't know where we stood on it. American Fantasy by Emma Straub.
Erin talked about this in her shelf reflections.
Okay, I remember us talking about it.
She DNF'd it.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay.
But that doesn't mean you won't like it.
Well,
it's got a lot of good press.
It's got everything I'm looking for. I love Boat. I love nostalgia.
You love Boat.
I love like millennial indulgence. So I'm going to...
And boy bands. Who doesn't love a boy band?
I'm going to dog ear it, but I'll keep an eye on it just because if Erin didn't finish it...
I really wanted to like it, if that's any consolation.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, instead I'll go Transcription.
Yeah. Wait, which one?
Transcription by Ben Lerner.
Okay.
It's a short book. It's a little short king, 144 pages. And the narrator is a guy who goes to Providence to do a final interview with his 90-year-old mentor, who's like this legendary figure. And before he does, like starts the interview, he drops his phone in the hotel sink and can't tell the guy. So instead of like transcribing it literally, like he has like, I guess, remember it from the experience. And it's supposedly this dreamy exploration of father, sons, male friendship, rivalry, memories, all that stuff. It's like very Father's Day centric looking like for me. So I thought I'm going to give that a shot and see what that conversation is like. It seems like an interesting premise. I like that it's short. So I'm going to check out Transcription by Ben Lerner.
I do love that cover. And it also comes out April 7th.
Why is April 7th such a... It's just like an arbitrary big day of books.
I feel like April 7th is like the equivalent to if a book comes out in October. It's because you want to get that summer push. You want to be in summer guides, like summer reading guides. You want to be a book that people are like, oh, I'm taking this on vacation.
Gotcha.
This guy, okay. I've never even heard of this guy. He had Fulbright, Guggenheim, and MacArthur fellowships. He was a finalist for the National Book Award for Poetry, the National Book Critics Circle Award, and the Pulitzer.
What? You know,
it, like, in one of the reviews, the New York Times is like, our greatest living writer.
I was just like, who is this person?
I don't even know who you are, bro. But like,
there's too many books. Yeah.
Sorry. I'm sorry, Ben.
No, that looks
great. I was not familiar with the game, but I'm excited to read this. So We'll check it out. Jamie, wrap us up with your last pick.
Okay, my last pick, I am going to go with contemporary romance, because, but only because I trust this author, you know, because sometimes I'm like, contemporary romance. But this is Tia Williams, who wrote 7 Days in June that I loved, and wrote a love song for Ricky Wilde, which I also loved. And this is The Missed Connection. And this one sounds a little frothier. Some of her books can be like romance in the midst of deep sadness, and but you're learning, and it's, you're growing. And it's good. But this is a story of Sasha Cruz, who is a casting agent, and she's all about finding the right perfect person to slot into the perfect role. However, she does not have time for romance. She's too busy, too ambitious with her professional life. And so she gets on a plane, and she is seated next to a mysterious, handsome Italian man on the way to a work trip in Paris, and sparks fly. However, they did not get to exchange information, and she is on a manhunt to find seat F. Okay.
What?
And which I love. And she uses the internet, like, it goes viral, her searching for this man, which is actually a very common thing, like on TikTok, is being like, internet, do your thing. This guy was hot. I want to stoop him. Can you find him for me? And you know what always happens in the comments? It's like, yeah, that guy is hot. I'm married to him. Don't try to stoop my husband. It's very fun to get on that.
That
side
is
of TikTok.
Fun.
I know. So she enlists her work friend to help in the search. The entire internet helps her trying to find. And then she even hires a detective who's smoldering.
Oh, no.
So she's a little distracted. She's like, oh, this doesn't work out. I've got the detective.
Maybe you have a plan B and a detective. I don't know.
So again, this is The Missed Connection by Tia Williams. It comes out June 16th.
I don't, in this day and age and economy and time, right, I do not understand how two hot people are like, ah, I just forgot to exchange my information.
It's absurd. It's genuinely absurd.
Get your
it's
life together.
So I am curious how, because I'm definitely going to read this one. I look forward to talking about it in a future Shelf Reflections of being like, this is how she made it make sense. But sometimes I feel like authors don't do a good job. Because remember my Shelf Reflections where I was like, the quarterback, was shamed for doing the chicken dance.
Right. I think about that once a week.
And that's
honestly,
when an author isn't on the that's when the author's not on the internet to understand that that's not a big enough deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and so we shall see. I'll
is this a
back.
Free episode, or is this behind the paywall?
This is
that
free.
We're doing right
this
now.
Is free.
Oh, okay. I have a fun anecdote about someone in my family who had, there's a misconnection aspect to their current relationship. That's a paywall. That's a paywall.
Okay, well, yeah, we'll do that then. Okay, good.
Okay, so I've got, to recap, I've got the ending rights. Y'all can correct me if I've messed any of these up. We have drafted The Ending Rights Itself, Homebound, Yesteryear, Into the Blue, Cherry Baby, My Sister's Keeper, The Tapestry of Fate, The Calamity Club, The Land, also A Trip with Aaron.
Which I'll have to pay for.
Yeah. Japanese Gothic, We Hexed the Moon, The Last Lady Bee, 5, Shampoo Effect, The Original, Scandal of the Summer, Transcription, and The Missed Connection.
So good. All listed good in the show notes as well on our bookshop list. Do not yell at us. Every other book that we referenced will also be in the show notes. So
yeah. Any other fictions or nonfictions y'all wanted to throw in here?
I kept one on my list that's fiction, but it's short stories. Coming soon is a little odd reader out where we talk about short stories. Mm-hmm. I didn't pick it, but I thought of you when I saw it that Danny McBride is publishing his first book of short stories.
I did not see that.
Oh my gosh. It's called, and listen, it's your whole wheelhouse. Thrilling Tales of Modern Men. Colon stories. It's coming out June 23rd. It says that he has always been a writer, but he's only shared it with friends. Huh. And they convinced him. They were like, no, you should publish these. These are so good. Which is incredible. Funny when a famous person's like, what?
You want me?
Oh my, you think I can get a book deal?
Are you sure?
So for those who don't know, Danny McBride is obviously, he's Kenny Powers from Eastbound and Down. And then he was also in Vice Principals. And then obviously one of the best gemstones ever on The Righteous Gemstones.
So good.
So anyway, I'm really curious about that now that I'm going to be into short stories. So that was
I'm putting that on list. I did notice a lot of short story collections coming out.
Yeah.
Weirdly, more than
that's all
usual.
We can digest. It's the TikTok generation. We can only handle so many pages at a time.
Aaron, what about you? Any fiction or nonfiction you want to mention?
Yeah. Okay. So I was going to say this one in my draft, but it's 3.3 on Goodreads right now. And so I'm like, I don't know. But the premise is so fascinating. It's called Hexes of the Deadwood Forest, and it's by Angiuska Sapila.
Nailed it.
I really nailed that. This is about an oil company executive, which I do still have PTSD about oil company executives after Vigil. But she is filmed having sex with a tree in her sleep. And
this cover,
right?
Holy moly.
Yeah. And then that kind of pushes her into this like unhinged state, and this is what it says spiraling her through history until she's united with a centuries old coven of ecstatically revolutionary women. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on. It's just weird. It looks weird. The cover's weird. The premise is weird.
The cover is almost profane.
Yeah. It's very close to being profane. But I'm like, I don't know. That's just a really.
It's like her Pikachu is smoking a doobie.
Yeah.
It's not been rolled yet.
Or it's got like a vuvuzela. You know?
I don't super know what's happening, but I'm interested.
The Penguin Random House, the last paragraph in the description is bold and entirely unexpected. Hexes of the Deadwood Forest is a collective rebellion and a collective orgasm.
The death knell
to the elevation of the erect. Take hold of your seat. Patriarchy is coming to an end.
Maybe I take all of it back.
I don't know. I think it's worth trying.
To buy that at Little Professor.
Yeah, I'll ask my aunt about that. Another one is TJ Klune has a new book coming out April 28th. It's We Burned So Bright. It's about a married couple, Dawn and Rodney, and a wandering black hole is coming for the Earth. So essentially Earth has a month until it's done. And they go on a road trip. And I'm always here for a TJ Klune. It's very cozy. I love the little worlds that he weaves. Yeah. So I'm always good with a TJ offering.
I had a historical fiction, Mrs. Benedict Arnold, by Emma Perry.
Okay. It looks really good.
It's about, I think it's Peggy Shipping, and she's like the socialite who was at the center of the Benedict Arnold to try to lure him to become a traitor, and his relationship with Captain John.
Women
Andre.
Always be luring.
They do. But she's a fascinating figure. I've kind of casually seen in history, but never like really focused on. So that sounded interesting. And then I had another one. I think it is. It's a nonfiction. This Land Is Your Land.
I've got that on my list.
Yeah. It's Beverly Gage. She travels the country to see museums, historic sites, roadside attractions, reenactments, all this stuff that is about American history. So it's kind of in advance of the celebration later this year. But it's a guide of like 13 places and 13 moments that define America. I thought that was interesting.
I love that way to context, because you've recommended so many kind of books that do that kind of context, like Pathogenesis, that do a context of like, let's take these moments and tell a story about a big thing. My longest list is nonfiction. So just really quickly, Patrick Ryden Keefe has a new book called London Falling, A Mysterious Death in a Gilded City. It's 2019. I was like, oh, we're going back to just pre-pandemic, barely. Anyway, then Oprah's most anticipated book of the year, Small Town Girls, A Writer's Memoir by Jane Ann Phillips. She is a Pulitzer Prize winning novelist who is now writing the story of growing up in West Virginia and Appalachia. And so, and kind of telling the story of Appalachia. So I'm curious about that. Then there's a book, I think Aaron will be interested in this. It's called Esther's Army, The Christian Women Who Powered the American Right.
Ooh.
I know. Katie Cadini is a sociologist who embedded. I love a good embedded.
I love a Nellie Bly.
Right. And so she embedded, and she covers Black conservatives, MAHA social media influencers, mama bears. Oh, I love mama bears. Anyway, so that's super fun. And then Mary Claire Haver, who was one of my first guides through perimenopause, and she wrote a book called The New Menopause, which I loved. She is now, and she, listen, she made a ton of money on that book. Good she for sold her. So many copies because millennials are all aging. And so, and if you are, listen, if you are 35 or older, you need to be reading about perimenopause so that you are mentally prepared for what is coming down the pike and how it can, you can do it well. You can do perimenopause well. This is the new Perimenopause, an evidence-based guide to surviving the zone of chaos and feeling like yourself again. I also have, Conversion Therapy Dropout, A Queer Story of Faith and Belonging by Timothy Schrader Rodriguez, who just talks, he goes behind the scenes of being on staff at a megachurch. And he was a member at Hillsong, Elevation, and Willow Creek.
That's the trifecta.
And then talks about how he survived conversion therapy.
Wow.
And then I also have the sane one, and this last one. I have the sane one, which is a memoir by Anna Conkle. Anna Conkle is the blonde in Pen 15, the comedy show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I saw this too.
And it's just a coming of age memoir, and talks about just growing up with her parents, and then she says I filled my time in college searching for the husband she'd never divorced and the orgasm she'd never had while waiting tables at fancy restaurants and getting lackluster acting gigs, and then just kind of like what happened. I love that show so much, and so I'm excited to read her memoir. So
I think that's a good list of books for this quarter.
Holy moly. We'll see how many we read.
We've already read so many of hers,
so that's so exciting.
Yeah, for real. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Shelf Respect.
Don't forget, everything we talked about is in the show notes, and we would love to see you talk about it too on Instagram with Read With Shelf Respect. Or if you're hardback, you can share your thoughts and opinions on Patreon. Links are in the show notes.
Ask your pointed questions, declare your intentions, or start a respectful fight in the comments with one of your enemies just to eventually become lovers.
I'm Jamie Golden. You can find me on the internet at Jamie B. Golden.
I'm Erin Moon. You can find me on the interwebs at Erin H. Moon.
I'm Knox McCoy. You can find me on the socials at Knox McCoy. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.
The end.